before we begin, let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we pray that only your word be spoken, only your word heard, and only your word lived. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, friends, tonight I want to explore with you the meaning of Christmas. Have you ever tried finding and putting on socks in the dark? Well, you end up with one black sock and one blue sock. In my family's case, I end up wearing my wife's socks. We share a drawer. It just doesn't work out. The fact is that when you walk into a room, you can't do anything until you turn on the light. And the prophet Isaiah says to us tonight, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined." You know, there are many spiritual truths in Christmas, but the main point of Christmas will be lost to you until we face this, that the world is a dark place and we won't be able to get around. We won't see reality like it is unless Jesus is our light. You know, a while ago, the New York Times ran an ad saying that, quote, "The meaning of Christmas is that love will triumph and that we will be able to put together the world in unity and peace." In other words, the light is actually in us. We can dispel the darkness. We can solve suffering and injustice and poverty, violence and evil if we just work together. Well, Václav Havel, who served as the last president of Czechoslovakia and was elected the first president of the Czech Republic, had a unique vantage point to deeply take in, you know, experience and evaluate both socialism and capitalism. And he was not optimistic that either system by itself would solve the world's major problems. He concluded that neither technology, the market, or state could save us from dangers like nuclear conflict, ethnic wars, or environmental disaster. He said, and I quote, "Pursuit of the good life will not help humanity save itself, nor is democracy alone enough." He said, "A turning and seeking of God is needed." The human race constantly forgets, he added, that he is not God. You know, Havel is right. It's not about us putting wrong things right. That's beyond us. The history of the human race is that in the face of the right thing to do, we habitually and chronically choose to do the wrong. There is no light from the inside. We live in a land of deep darkness, and we need to see the light. And today, we see that great light in Jesus, who was born in the manger. He is the greatest gift of God to the human race. But gifts, well, they're complicated, aren't they? You know, when I was growing up, there were two kinds of gifts. Gifts that you were excited about and gifts that you had to pretend to be excited about. You know, when I was 15, I was so excited for a gaming console, the PlayStation 2. But I had to smile for the socks that were inevitably gifted to me. I had to smile because our reaction to gifts, my parents taught me, communicates how we feel about what we're getting. Our reaction to a gift also reveals something about ourselves. I mean, imagine if your best friend or closest relative, your spouse, gave you a gift and you open it and you're ready to smile no matter what. And you open this gift to find a book titled 10 Steps to Be Less Selfish Person. I mean, what do you say, right? It's complicated. Well, you could get upset. You can get in a huff and you could storm out. Or you could say thank you, right? But a genuine thank you is uncomfortable, because if you say thank you in a genuine spirit, well, then you're admitting that you do need that book, that in fact you are selfish and need to remedy your character. I mean, or I suppose you could simply smile and say thanks, but plan to completely ignore that book and perhaps devalue the affection in your heart for the gift giver. You know, I think I did that, you know, every time I got socks as a kid. I love socks now as a gift. But here's the point. Jesus, born in the manger, is the gift of God to us, people who live in a land of deep darkness. But in order to genuinely receive this gift of infinite love, in order for God's love in Jesus to have a life-giving impact in our lives, we have to say thanks and admit that we don't have that inner light that can fix the human condition. To receive the gift is to understand that the meaning of Christmas is not about humans by themselves finding the answer to the human condition, you know, with better policy and, you know, better technology. That in fact, we need the light to dawn on us. We need help. You know, when the angels appear to the shepherds, well, let me share with you how the old King James Bible translation has it. It says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Fear not, behold. You know, we don't use the word behold anymore, so I get why modern translators of the Bible, they drop it. But it should be there, because behold, the word is translating an ancient word that's actually there. And that ancient word means to see, but it refers to more than seeing with your eyes. It means to perceive, ponder, understand. Behold. What we are meant to perceive and understand, what is it? Well, again, from the old King James, the angels say, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And when the angels start singing, well, this is what they sing: "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The more modern Bible readings usually say, well, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. You know, well, no disrespect to the modern translators, but that sounds partial and subjective. It's like almost like saying, you know, God grant us personal peace and a lack of anxiety, you know, a respite from existential angst. And that is for his favored ones. But that's not what the passage is meant to be saying at all. When the angels appear to the shepherds and sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men," the word peace is a technical word meaning the cessation of hostilities, as like peace between nations at war. Behold. Friends, that endless struggle between nations, you know, strife between family, that alienation you feel in your very self is proclaimed to be over in the birth of Jesus, the Savior of the world. You see, the fact that all these wars, international, familial, even the war in ourselves, is rooted in our alienation and hostility to God. We don't want Václav Havel to be right. We don't want to need God. We don't want God to be the light. We want to be the light. We want to be able to say, you know, I work hard. I earned this. No one really helped me. What I have are well-earned comforts, you see? I sorted out my own life, so the answer is that we can come together, you know, other folks like me, and we can sort out the human condition. But as that famous preacher, Barbara Brown Taylor, once said, we do not lose control of our lives. What we lose is the illusion that we were ever in control in the first place. My friends, Jesus, not you, not me, is the light that dispels the darkness. You know, in 1961, the Russians put the first man in space, and Khrushchev, the premier, proclaimed that their state, well, it was an atheist state, and they'd put a man in space, in the heavens, and they saw that there was, well, they saw there was no God up there. I guess the idea was to say that, you know, their system was right. When C.S. Lewis, that famous author of The Chronicles of Narnia, heard about that, he penned a reply. And in his reply, he wrote this, and I quote, this is C.S. Lewis. If there is a God who created us, we could not discover him by going up into the air. God would not relate to human beings the way a man on the second floor relates to a man on the first floor. He would relate to us the way Shakespeare relates to Hamlet. See, Shakespeare is the creator of Hamlet's world and of Hamlet himself. Hamlet can know about Shakespeare only if the author reveals information about himself in the play. So too, the only way to know about God is if God has revealed himself. You know, Dorothy Sayers, that famous English author who wrote a series of detective stories about a certain Lord Peter Wimsey. You know, and this character, although he's very successful at solving mysteries, Dorothy realizes that her main protagonist is alone. He's lonely. And over the years she's been writing his stories, she comes to love him. So she introduces a new character, a character named Harriet Vane. And Harriet is written as, you know, a plain-looking woman, but she's precocious and incredibly intelligent. You know, one of the first women to graduate from Oxford, just like Dorothy Sayers. And in the books, they fall in love and get married. They solve mysteries and, well, they make a family. You see, Dorothy Sayers saw her character lonely, and she loved him so much, she wrote herself into the story out of love for her character, to be with him. Isn't that lovely? Of course it is. Now, behold, the claim of Christmas is more infinitely wonderful than that. God did not merely write us information about himself. He wrote himself into the drama of history. Because in our primordial rejection of the love of God, in our historical insistence that we have that inner light, we have ended up in misery and alone. So God came into our world as Jesus Christ to save us, to die for us, so that we could once again be family with God if we turn to him in repentance and faith. You know, Jesus was born to broker a peace as between warring nations, to end the hostility between humanity and God. To quote the ancient Byzantine hymn of the Nativity, today is born of the Virgin, him who holds all creation in the hollow of his hand. He whose essence is untouchable is wrapped in swaddling clothes as a babe. The God who from of old established the heavens lies in a manger. He who showered the people with manna in the wilderness feeds on milk from the breasts. Friends, the answer to the human condition is Jesus, the God who from of old established the heavens, lies in a manger. Behold what his coming actually means. God in human flesh comes to us weak and small, completely vulnerable. The light and love of God come to us, a people who dwell in deep darkness. The answer to the deepest questions and longings of our heart is Jesus Christ. And as peace comes between our hearts and the light and love of God, healing for the nations is promised, healing between family members, and the healing of our lonely hearts now and forever. The angels say, "Fear not." This is the most amazing news, and I know it's the hardest to believe. It feels more sensible and nice to, you know, feel it's simply a nice story with good morals, but, you know, that's just another iteration of relying on the inner light, if you believe that. Notice that although the shepherds heard the news from an angelic host, the rest of the people, well, they heard it from the shepherds. And shepherds were on the lowest rung of the social ladder. Folks didn't really like them. You know, they weren't nuanced and sophisticated people. They were just shepherds. But they carried the message of the true hope of the world to any who would hear. My friends, I'm here before you tonight. I'm a shepherd. I'm sharing this with you, not primarily because it's my vocation. I'm sharing this with you because Jesus has changed my life. My life should, by all accounts, be very different than it is. And left up to me, I wouldn't be a priest. I wouldn't be here tonight. But by God's grace, I've stopped insisting that I have all the answers, and I've turned to the light of Jesus who was born today. Oh, won't you trust him too? His healing and hope are here, and they're free for the taking if only you turn to Jesus in repentance and faith. Peace is declared for all who receive. Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. Amen.